February 1942. That evening, the wind veered into the southeast, so they were on a close reach by midnight when Nick, after again plotting their DR position, climbed into his bunk, hoping to get a couple of hours' sleep. He had just nodded off, still thinking about what to do with the seasick cook, when Borg shook him.
"Skipper, I just got an operational immediate with our call sign."
Nick dragged himself to consciousness.
"Huh? What? Operational immediate? Us?
Skipper, are you awake? Should I read it to you?"
Yeah. What's it say?"
He swung his legs out of the bunk and sat up.
"Operational immediate. Aircraft reported oil slick at 1820 hours, EWT, 22 February, 42, bearing 115 true, distance 72 miles from Ambrose Buoy. Investigate. It's signed with Commander Newton's code group for the present date and time."
By then, Nick was bending over the chart table.
115 true. 115 true, 72 miles from the Ambrose Buoy.
That's 22 miles southeast of us. He moved his parallel rule to the compass rose, then wrote 143 mag on a piece of white adhesive tape, stepped into his sea boots, and went up the ladder into the cockpit. Over his shoulder, he said,
"Send, will comply."
Langdon and Snow were on watch. "Bring her up onto the wind, Snow. Try for 143 degrees magnetic, but I don't think she'll sail nearly that high." Nick started to haul in the main sheet, and Langdon did the same with the foresail as Jenks appeared in the hatch and went forward to tighten the staysail. The boat's motion changed radically. Instead of lazily working her way up and over the groundswell and the waves that were running with it, she now heeled down and began to fight her way up each swell and through the wind-driven waves on top of them. Nick checked the compass. She was sailing a little bit better than due south, but not much. Jenks came into the cockpit. He was wearing his oilskins, and Nick wished he had taken the time to put on his own. Spray was now being blown aft in sheets.
"If she has to fight her way through this shit, Skipper, she's going to need more sail to do it."
"Yep. Set the jib."
Longo had also come on deck without being called. He, too, was wearing oilskins. Jenks said to him,
"Come on, Joe. You can help me fall off the Widowmaker."
The jib was hoisted from the end of the bowsprit that was periodically plowing through the head of a breaking wave. Other than the white of the bow wave and the occasional breaking sea, it was as black as if they were sailing inside a cloud of oil. When the jib was set, Longo and Jenks came aft. Nick sent the other two below, and then ducked below himself to get dressed for battle. When he came back on deck in his oilskins, Jenks, who was steering, said,
"She'll go about 175. If I pinch her any higher than that, she can't get through the slop and slows right down."
Nick looked at the log on the stern rail.
"I wouldn't trust that. The impeller keeps coming out of the water. I guess we're doing better than six, but it always seems like you're going like a bat out of hell when you're going to weather in the dark."
Nick went below to the chart table, and when he returned, said, "We'll hold on to this until 0400, then go about. That slick, if it was where it was supposed to be at 1800 last night, should be moving north in this wind, and I don't want to overshoot it. We ought to be about where it should be around dawn. Is that precise enough for you boats?"
"Whatever you say, Mr. Worth."
August 2008. "Were you right, Grandpa? Did you find the oil slick?"
"That and a lot more. The wind kept rising and it started to rain. At 2 o'clock we had the jib off her again, and a little while after that we put a reef in the main. It was a wet, wild, wonderful ride. We tacked on schedule, and an hour or so later smelled oil. That's when the fun, and with it my youth, ended."
She decided not to question that last statement. If he wanted to clarify it, he would. He sat in silence with his eyes closed for a while, and then kept them closed when he said,
"You know, Toots, like you said before, everybody thinks of World War II in black and white because of those old movies, but most of my part of it, as I remember it now, really was in black and white. Dirty gray ships and boats, gray sky, gray sea, canvas sails, weathered gray, and everything else, either the white of the breaking seas or the black of oil."